Right, goeiemôre weer eens. Vandag gaan ek in Afrikaans spreek. In die hemelse taal. Vir 5 sekondes. Dan is my Afrikaans eetime klaar. Alright. Ja man, oh, worship was special. Thank you, Lord. Just to a person appreciate it. That's all I'm gonna say. So I was just saying a bit earlier about understanding the season and even what's happening. And for the past 2 weeks, Sean has been here. And Sean generally carries an apostolic gifting. Brings direction, he brings discipline. And you just feel it over the 2 weeks that something shifted here because of the apostolic grace that he carries, that he takes into the world. A very humble man, but he takes it into the world and brings that gift. And we praise the Lord that it was brought to God's household here in Garvindale. So I had a 2 week break from preaching. And I was telling Kingdom yesterday, I think, I'm like a dog behind the gate. Just open the gate. I just want to run. Just let me out. And so last week, Sunday, I had the privilege of being in PM and just sharing my testimony and things. And I used a specific verse. And even after we left, I was like, oh, Lord, there's so much more to this. So now I actually want to bring it in an actual preach. And so the message title for today is Searching for Warmth. Searching for Warmth. And we're going to base it on Proverbs 6, verse 27. I'm using the King James Version. And I will not moeilik wees. Can a man take fire in his bosom, in his chest, and his clothes not be burned? Can a man take fire to his chest and his clothes not be burned? And Solomon asks a question that like really doesn't, almost like it doesn't make sense because the answer is kind of obvious. No, we can't hold a fire to our chest without being burned. Yet it is something that is done so prevalently amongst us. We hold emotional fires. We hold mental or psychological fires. Spiritually, we place fires against our chest. And we carry things close to our heart that we're actually not meant to be carrying. But the reason why we take fire is because fire produces warmth. It's actually the warmth that we are desiring. And that's why we place it to our chest. The language that it's written in, it's... For me, well, it's almost like a romantic language of holding a fire to your chest. It's not a harshness. It's a genuineness of wanting to have that warmth. You want to see it from that point of view. And Solomon is actually writing about sexual immorality and adultery, but it's something that can actually be used across the board for our walk, about holding things against us. And there's a warmth that we are desiring when we sit close to a fire. But when you stay too long in that same position, you start to feel your face burn or something on you burn when you're standing there. And it's that we're going to go into today. And unfortunately, sometimes we carry things close to our hearts that we were never meant to sustain us. Addictions, relationships, validation, pride, success, lust, work, ministry, busyness, performance, and distractions. And like I said, often the reason why we hold it is because we are looking for warmth. But the why are we looking for warmth means that there's a coldness inside of us. There's an area that is looking, desiring warmth. And unfortunately, we are going and seeking it in the wrong place. And human beings are created for warmth. We are created for intimacy. We are created for relationship, for love and a sense of security, all of that was in the Garden of Eden. We are built for that. So there's nothing wrong with looking for warmth. But when we start to look for warmth in the wrong places, that's when it becomes trouble. That's when you start to get burnt. Okay? And like I said, it began in Eden, and we're going to go there now. Genesis 3, 5 to 7, sorry, and it says, for God knows that when you... Okay, so basically, let me just give a highlights package, verse 1 to 4. They're in the Garden of Eden. Life is good. But here comes the serpent, and he's challenging them in their thinking. And he's telling them, man, just eat it. You know, God says that, but you're actually just going to become like him. Surely you will not die, is one of the verses. And then verse 5, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So that's Satan speaking. Okay. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate as well. And so the Bible is so beautiful that we get to witness the very beginning of things. And Adam and Eve had everything. They had intimacy with God. They had identity, they had purpose, they had provision, they had belonging. A perfect world with God, walking with him. But Satan introduces a devastating lie to them. And he's basically telling them, what God has given you is not enough. That is what he's actually saying to them. What God has given you is actually not enough. And so suddenly, when Eve believed this lie, there was a coldness that needed warmth. Now suddenly, if you can put those verses back up, now Eve is looking at it, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. The fire looked warm, inviting, crackling, and she took it because she perceived or she had a wrong understanding that she lacked something, even though she was in God's presence daily. She believed the lie that what God has given you is not enough. And so a fire was placed against her chest. Well, she took the fire. And then gave the husband the fire to hold against his chest as well. And so we fast forward to today and we look at Ephesians 1 verse 3. And Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And so we are back in a position where we have everything. Everything, because that's what it says, every spiritual blessing we have. But it's thousands of years later, I don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden. Bible doesn't say, could have been there 2 million years, no one knows. Only life only started being counted after that. But since then to today, the same lie is still spoken to us. What you have is not enough. And so we're still chasing fires. We're still chasing warmth outside of God because that is something we know, we have the knowledge of, but we don't necessarily believe it for our lives. And so before Satan could get humanity to rebel, he first had to make humanity feel incomplete. And that is where he's going to get you. When you feel incomplete, when you believe and partner with a lie that you are not complete, and God is saying, I've given you every blessing. In fact, I've given you my son to die for you, yet you still feel you don't have enough. That is when Satan's going to get to you. And so Satan presented rebellion as wisdom, as promotion, as fulfillment, as becoming more. No one is just going to take fire and hold it in their hand. You kind of know you're going to get burnt. But if it comes forth as warmth, you might receive it better. And so sin, or what Satan is trying to establish in your life, is often not smack in your face, demonic. It looks good. The Bible says, and Eve saw with the eyes that it looked good to eat, looked good to consume, and desired its effect that might give her knowledge, might make her wise, it might uplift me, promote me as a person. And it's still happening today. But the consequence of that warmth was a burning. Their clothes were burnt. And I'm not talking about physical clothes. They had to be out of God's presence. And it's hectic, man. And it's still the same today. And we're going to get into that. So, yeah, the fire looked warm. It looked desirable. But ultimately, shame entered. Hiding began. Fear appeared. Intimacy was broken. And separation was ushered in. And that's what fires do when we take it, when we are not supposed to be using it. So the fire promised a promotion, but it burnt everything in the Lord. And humanity has been carrying dangerous fires close to the chest ever since. And it started, and I'm going to say this again because I really want this to sink in. It started with Eve because Eve thought she lacked something. And this morning, for us to genuinely search ourselves, what do we think we still lack? And I'm not talking about money. Money comes, money goes. You can't base your happiness and your identity on how much is in your bank account, because that will never be the same. It will fluctuate. There will be seasons of nothing. There will be seasons of much. But your identity can't be based in that. That fire can't sustain you. That is not a source of warmth. That is there to burn you, because it will affect your identity if you base it on what you have in your bank account. And so I want to take this fire that we're talking about, this deception, and I want us to go down two paths. And the first path is outside of the kingdom, what this looks like. And the second part is inside of the kingdom, what this looks like. And so when we talk about outside of the kingdom, it's fires that promise life but bring destruction. And people aren't searching for destruction. They're searching for warmth. And when you look outside and you can see it in people, but they can't see it for themselves. They're chasing the warmth of a career. They're trying to feel fulfilled in things that are always changing. Then it's this course that they're fighting for. Then it's the next great thing that comes. Now we're all standing for whatever. Always chasing a purpose. But these things are temporary. And then that fades. And then it's the next thing that comes up. And then you gung-ho for that thing until that trend fades. Constantly seeking a warmth that you can only find in Christ. And it's sad to watch them go through this, because we've all gone through this at some stage in our lives. Seeking warmth with fires that you were never meant to carry. And the sad part is others can see you are burnt, but you not seeing that you are burnt. I think that's probably one of the saddest states. And so when someone says, yo, that person needs Jesus, sometimes it's genuinely meant from a sincere place, because that's the only one that can bring warmth, that will sustain you into eternity. And that's why it's so important for us to share Christ as often as possible, because people are burning And the sad part is, if they don't find Christ, there will be an eternal fire that is waiting for them. So people, they're searching for warmth. People reach for addiction, lust, pornography, substances, toxic relationships, approval, status, rebellion, success, escape. And I can tell you that one was me a lot of the time. Approval. When your identity is affected in your childhood and how you grow up, you will constantly be seeking approval. And so be careful, because like even in simplest things of posting statuses, why are you posting it? Are you looking for someone's approval? Why do you need to say what you did? Are you looking for approval? Are you looking for the warmth? Are you looking for a fire in a wrong place? We need to think deeper about the things that we participate in. And it's not always because people love evil that they're taking fire, but because they are hurting, empty, lonely, ashamed, spiritually thirsty, and the fire comforts before it consumes. And so we shouldn't look at people outside of the kingdom with a harshness. You only know what you know. You only know what you know. Andrew Selly said it a while back, can't hold someone ransom to your level of faith. And it's so true. I can't expect someone that's outside of the kingdom to understand principles of the kingdom. But I can meet them at that point and guide them to the Lord. And it's often not with what I say with my mouth, but it's the lifestyle that I live that will preach more to someone. When someone looks and like, why are you not frantic? Why are you not all over the place when there's nothing in the house? It's because you trust Jesus. I don't need to say it with my mouth, but you can see it in my attitude. And so someone will become curious. How do you do that? How are you constant the same? How does it not bother you to that degree that it bothers me? You know, and that is how we win people over. How we show them the true fire. God in all of this. And so I want to use an example, because if ever anyone preaches and doesn't use the Bible, just leave the room. Please, if the person can't take it to scripture, leave the room. It's not worth sitting under that person. That's just opinion. And so we look at the prodigal son. And it's Luke 15. We're not going to read from Luke 15. I think we're going to read one verse 7. Yeah? Did I give it to you? Sorry, yeah. So, who doesn't know the story of the prodigal son? Okay, we're all on the same page. So basically, he takes his inheritance and goes to Cape Town. And he's chilling on Table Mountain. He's going to the museum. He's going to the waterfront. He's net by Krispy Kreme. He yelled it. Yeah, I love Krispy Kreme. Anyhow, that's the modern version. But he goes somewhere and he squanders it. Okay? And if we can pause and think, he's in his father's household. It's a wealthy family. They have everything because there's servants there. Once again, he has everything, but believes a lie that it's not enough. And so there's a fire that is calling him. There's a warmth, a supposed warmth, that he just wants to run towards. Because somehow in his mind, he thinks this is going to fulfill him. And sometimes, let's not go. Now let's go there now. Sometimes that warmth is a person. You're running after a relationship for a warmth that you're supposed to find in God. And then you get blinded. And then you start thinking, hey, my kanom rechmak. I know women think that way. We are all projects to you. Nah, I kanom it so biki. Biki's panel beat. He's my project now. Okay, sorry if I offended anyone, I'm sorry. But then we start to see people that way. We're so hell-bent on getting the warmth from that one that we're overseeing how that person is burning you. Not reciprocating love. Has a girlfriend. Has a wife. Has a husband. But you're pursuing this thing because you are seeking a warmth that this person actually can't provide. It's a counterfeit. And we need to be careful. So the prodigal son, they never give his name. Anyhow, Jabai goes and he squanders it. Now he's burnt. And then we come to verse 7. And he's sitting in a pigsty. This is where he finds himself. And sometimes this is a spiritual picture of a pigsty that you're in. Yeah, verse 7. I think I got the wrong verse. Sorry. Yeah. That's all on me. Prodigal son. 14, not 7. I apologize. But I'm just going to read it. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Verse 15. No, that's not the right verse. Where am I now? Yeah, verse 17, sorry. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. And I heard someone once say the longest journey in the Bible wasn't in the desert. It was Luke 15, verse 17. When this guy came to his senses, that was the longest journey that was taken. And so there's some versions of the Bible that says, and when he came to himself, others say, and when he came to his senses. So this fire, a wrong fire, can sometimes rob you of your identity. Because for him to come to himself means he was outside of himself. This fire took him away, took his identity away. His identity as a son of the Father is what he was robbed of. Because even in his mind, he says, I'll go back as a servant. So the fire will rob you of your position in the kingdom. Now you're carrying an orphan spirit because of this fire that you are carrying. And so this thing can just take you down and down a rabbit hole further and further. So instead of abundance, it became famine for him. Pleasure became emptiness. Independence became brokenness in him. And Angie, we were talking about the prodigal son yesterday. And my vrou is baie slim, julle. En ek soek net brownie points. And she said something about the prodigal son. And she said, the prodigal son wanted to fast track his maturity. He wanted his inheritance before the time. He wasn't ready for it. His father's still alive, but he wants his inheritance. He wants to fast track his maturity. And be careful of wanting to fast track your road in the kingdom. Be careful of that, because it's a door in for a fire that's going to take you down a wrong road. Be careful of running ahead of God's timing. Abide in him. Allow him to move you. Don't rush it. And then when you don't get it, you run off and go find another church where they're going to promote you in a week or two van jy sê die regte goede. But you end up being burnt and you end up in a spiritual pigsty. So just be careful of that. Yeah, the prodigal son had been living disconnected from who he really was. That's the tragedy of fire and brokenness. Doesn't just damage behavior. It distorts your identity in the kingdom. And some of us may be thinking, oh, I'm not carrying those kinds of fires. I'm not in addiction. I'm not struggling with, not using lust for warmth. not using pornography for warmth, but we were referring to people outside of the kingdom mostly now. But now we're going to transition into the kingdom. And the fire looks different inside, the fires look different inside of the kingdom. It's almost respectable fires that you'll find in the kingdom. And not every dangerous fire is obvious sin inside of the kingdom. Some fires look responsible, look productive, even look spiritual. The question is not merely, is this sinful? Rather, why am I holding this so close? So, with things like ministry, and I can talk from experience years before joining Oxygen Life, we were running so flat out for the church we were in, leading things, being responsible for things. But in hindsight, I was running from the Lord dealing with me. So I was keeping busy with the things of the Lord. And so ministry became a fire. The warmth I received from people and the approval from people was keeping me warm. We're going to sing an Afrikaans song quickly. Sorry for those who can't speak Afrikaans. Maar ons leer, ne? The kingdom, ons leer. En wat ons leer, vergeet ons weer. Yeah. So, we're going to sing Ek en Mees, ons sal die Here dien. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Okay? Before we go back in, the devil's a liar, man. Dis moeg van hom nou, it's now 2 weeks in a row. Ek en my huis, ons sal die Here dien. Ek en my huis, ons sal die Here dien. Ek en my huis, ons sal die Here dien. Ek en my huis, on sal die Here dien, ek in my huis, ek in my huis, on sal die Here dien, ek in my huis, on sal die Here dien, ek in my huis, on sal die Here dien, ek in my huis, ons sal die Here dien. Halleluja, 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 halleluja. Right. And we're back for the second half. All right. So inside of the kingdom, the fires look different. It's deceptive. It looks like good things and it is good things. But sometimes you can be faithfully wrong. You can be faithfully wrong. And so I was looking for warmth in ministry rather than, and I was being Jonah on my Tarshish, when God wants to send me to Nineveh. And you can keep busy with things of the Lord, and you will end up in a whale. You're going to have your moment. You can't escape God. It's just a matter of how long do you think you're winning? How long do you think you're winning? And yeah. What? Inside of the kingdom, yes. And so, in anything that we are doing inside of the kingdom, for us to genuinely ask ourselves, why am I holding this so close? Like for me, it's something I must check in myself. Why do I work so much? Want my vrou sê, jy werk te veel. Day and night. So, I was asking myself, why am I holding this so close? What don't I want to deal with? Am I going back to where I was 5-6 years ago by doing this again? Because your wife is going to pick it up before you do. Your spouse will pick up something before you do. Your parents will pick up something before you do. Something's changing. You understand? So be careful of that inside of the kingdom. Your identity is in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not in ministry, not in the prophetic, not in worship. Don't make an idol of it. Don't look for warmth in those things. It's good, but the source of that warmth is the Lord, not the function, if you can understand what I'm trying to say. So if we just look at things, and for some people, it's work and achievement. Work. Some people hold work close because productivity gives them identity. You get lost in work, but everything else is suffering. We knew someone who worked so hard, double shifts without getting paid. Boss just says you must work on, and then she has to work on. But her marriage wasn't in a good place. So the well done that she received in the workplace was the fire, the warmth that she was looking for. But it was damaging her family and damaging her physically because of the long hours. But to her, the fruit looked good to eat. And she ate of it and held that fire, but got burnt. For others, it's hobbies, sports, and entertainment. And that's not sinful in itself, but becomes escape routes for pain, silence, or intimacy with God. I always marvel at it, at how men are so vocal and suddenly emotions can come out when it's soccer and rugby and defending All Blacks or defending Springboks of Father Helpele, Liverpool. You know, then they are passionate and they can talk and tell you about 1979 when we won the FA Cup. But I'll talk about the Lord and they shrink because you found a warmth in a wrong place. Your passion is meant to be for the Lord first. There's nothing wrong with sports. Sports is neutral. It's what you make of it. You understand? I made it an idol of soccer for many years, Manchester United. But France. I made an idol of it. She had to look at the schedule of when we're playing to see when she can see me. And she had to look if we won or we lost because that would determine my mood for the rest of the day. So you can make an idol of the things which you're looking for, the warmth, the camaraderie, the family of supporters and being loyal to one another. It's a false counterfeit of what you meant to have here. And so many millions of men are serving that religion. As a song, Glory, Glory, Man United, that is sung. You understand? And so Satan has given a counterfeit to find warmth. And that is their religion. It's genuinely a religion. People will die for it. And so these things that are neutral, but the way we take it can be hectic. Anyhow, being needed, and listen carefully, being needed can be a fire. We are meant to carry each other's burdens. That's scripture, scriptural. But when you take it and make it about you, when you have a hero syndrome or you just want to save people, and you plow yourself into helping others. Often it's because you don't want to face what's happening in your life. You don't want to deal with what God wants to deal with. So nou vind jy die volgende mens in die next project want te werk. And when they get better, then we have to find someone else again. Because I need to focus on someone. I need to distract myself from what God wants to do in me. So be careful of that one. It's a dangerous one because it's very deceptive. But I'm doing good. Doing good work. Ek sit op 10 o'clock en ek bid met hy ene. En ek bid met hy ene. But what about your relationship with the Lord? What about your walk? This week, I canceled appointments. Heel week. Because I wanted time with the Lord. Ek dink ek bid genoeg vir mense. I needed me to be with the Lord this week. To be filled up. It's not selfish. Find the balance between it. Don't like the word balance. People take it wrong. But yeah. Okay? So be careful of that one. The need to be needed. Where you shift things actually for you to be needed. That's hectic because it's manipulation. You move it around so that people must look to you for the solution. Okay. Kingdom fires. And some people use kingdom activity as warmth against unresolved emptiness. Like I said, constant serving, endless ministry activity, always helping others, inability to rest, spiritual performance, needing to feel important in the kingdom, always pouring out while neglecting the soul. Right? Just please, guys, be careful of those things. And I'm talking to myself as well. So yeah, some people are using ministry to avoid silence, grief, healing, intimacy with God. Ministry is holy, serving matters, and sacrifice matters. But even good things become dangerous when they replace intimacy with Christ, when they become your identity, when they become emotional anesthesia that numbs you, that you use it to numb yourself. Or become substitutes for actually abiding in the Lord. And so as I bring this to a close, there's a few questions I actually want us to ask ourselves. What fire have you been carrying close to your chest? What have you been using for warmth? What makes you feel needed, safe, valuable, accepted, comforted? And is it truly healing your soul or quietly burning you?